Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today. As we begin the show by taking a look at genealogy and maybe getting folks, relatives, friends, talking about your family's history. And we can do that because we have Lori Bessler with us. Lori's a reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. She teaches genealogy and does that in workshops to kind of help folks piece together their family histories. Maybe you've been working on your family's history. Maybe you'd like to take advantage of the fact that great-grandma and grandma and grandpa are going to be visiting you, and this would be a great opportunity during Hanukkah or Christmas to get some of that family history right from, I was going to say the horse's mouth, the relative's mouth, let's put it. That's probably a better way to put it.
Yeah, it is.
And it is a good time, isn't it? To do, Lori?
It is a great time. It's a great opportunity to make those connections and hear the stories that the paper trail doesn't tell us about.
Yeah, absolutely. If you'd like to join in, maybe you have a question about the work that you've been doing. You feel like you know as much of your family history as you'd like, or do you wish you could learn some more? Or maybe you have older relatives you can ask things of, or do you have to rely on documents or photos or public records? Well, I'm pretty sure Lori can help you out here. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment right there. We would love to hear from you. You meet a lot of genealogists. What are some of the motivations that people have to research their family histories?
You know, I think some of it has to do with medical things. Yeah. That they're trying to figure out what's the medical record in the family. Sometimes it's just, we heard this story, we want to know if this is true or not. Other times it's putting the names, dates, and places together like a puzzle. Yeah. So people come to it for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
And they get hooked. That's the key.
They really do. And I see our phone lines are starting to light up here, and I'm sure there are going to be lots of people with questions. Let's talk about some of the most basic resources. I think many of us are familiar with it, but public records, probably a very basic one, obviously. What exists, yeah, and how can we access them?
You know what is it? The paper trail is really varied. You have a lot of different institutions that hold different types of records. What I usually tell people to start with are those birth, marriage, and death records, which could be at a courthouse, could be at an institution like we are, the Wisconsin Historical Society. We have a collection of pre-1907 birth, marriage, and death records. Also newspapers, obituaries, marriage announcements. Those have wonderful stories in them that are not part of the public record, like mm-hmm. a birth record would say. Censuses, the federal census, the federal government recorded so much about our ancestors in one collection of censuses, and those are so easily accessible.
Yeah.
They're on Ancestry. You don't have to subscribe to get to them, though. It's one of those things you don't see in their marketing, but they have what's called a library edition. You go to your public library, and you have access to those records.
Yeah,
and those
amazing
censuses can tell you anything from 1930. They asked a question such as, do you own a radio?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Other questions, you know, where were you born? Where were your parents born? What was their mother tongue? What language did they speak? Could they read? Could they write? That kind of information is really important.
Absolutely. And it's and as you say, once you get going on this, people just kind of go nuts sometimes.
Yeah, I've been going at it since fourth grade.
Oh,
that was
my
a
goodness.
Long time ago.
Now, how did you get interested in fourth grade?
Oh, my parents. We, you know, in 1976, we lived in Poinette, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And instead of heading to Philadelphia, as most people did at the bicentennial time, instead, my father and mother took us on a trip down through the route that our great-great-grandfather had taken in the Civil War.
Oh!
And so we went to the battlefields. We went to everything. And the end of the journey for us was the treat that we behaved so well for was Walt Disney World. So, but that trip just really made it so interesting to hear more stories. And my father especially was such a great storyteller. So that made an impact.
Oh. Well, Connie in Portage has a question for you, so we will go there. Hi, Connie.
Hi. I've done my family tree, all four sides, except on my grandma's side, my maternal grandmother, I cannot get past Mercer County, Pennsylvania. She said they were Pennsylvania Dutch. Well, what is that? They were all Methodists. Clear back, but I want to go back further. I want to find out if she came from Germany, if that was Low German. But when we went to Mercer County, they said they don't have any records.
Oh, at the county courthouse, they did not have any records?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so do you know, were there church records for the Pennsylvania Dutch, for whatever Reformed Dutch churches that they may have been involved in?
No.
There are none that existed?
No.
Okay.
I was just at a loss. I don't know how to find out where she came from. But you were talking when I got off the air about the census. Maybe I could check with the census.
Yeah, what time period are you looking at?
Well, let's see. Grandma was born in 1891, so I would say the early 1800s for her parents, grandparents.
And sure. Well, the federal census started in 1790, done every 10 years, all the way to the present. From 1790, though, to 1840, it's listing the head of household, and then it's saying how many males and how many females are living in the households.
That's it, right?
Yeah, well, that's it for a little bit, but there's a lot of other pieces of the paper trail that could exist out there. Now, locally, when you traveled to Mercer County, it depends on what institutions you visited. So did you
I went to the library, I went to the courthouse, I went every place they told me to go. And
did you go to any churches?
No. Well, we went, they said there wasn't a church back from that time period that had burned down or something, I don't know. We and then somebody suggested a cemetery, and by that time my husband was getting tired.
Yeah, I have a husband and children who get tired when I get going on too much of this, too. I would say that I think there's still more to be found. And sometimes with church records, they may not have stayed in the certain vicinity that the church was in. It could have gone off to a larger office of their, or branch of their church. So I think there's more to be found. I would say when you come up with a question like this, if you can send it to us, asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org, and email it. I control that email. And I forward it on to our reference staff. And we have wonderful people who are very knowledgeable in our staff. And so we can help you identify where are other parts of the paper trail that you can find.
Okay, now repeat that for me and I'll write it down. I'm sitting in my car.
Okay. It's asklibrary at wisconsinhistory, all spelled out, .org. It's on our website as well. And that's located on Larry's Facebook account.
Yeah, if you go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show.
Yes, but I don't have a computer.
Oh, that's okay.
I am computer illiterate.
Do you have an email account?
No, I don't, but because I don't have but I can ask my children to do this for me.
It's also that you can phone us at the Wisconsin Historical Society, or you can send us a traditional letter through the mail, and we'll answer that.
Just phone the Wisconsin Historical Society in Madison.
I'll give you the reference number. That's 608-264-6535.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, do I ask for anyone in particular?
You can ask for me.
Lori. Oh, Lori Bessler.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This.
Well, I'm hoping we can find something for you.
Thanks for calling, Connie. Appreciate it very much. Dominique in Sheboygan, we are turning to you next. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a bit of a novice when it comes to genealogy. Now, I've been trying to research my dad's side of the family. Now, I know as far as my grandfather goes, after my grandfather, I have to go back to Sicily.
Okay.
On my grandmother, the only thing anybody in the family knows about her is she was from a Norwegian family and she was from Menominee Falls.
What time period for her?
Oh, I believe she was born somewhere between 1917 and 1920. I'll have to look it up.
Okay. Well, so the 1920 and the 1930 censuses would help you with that. That could verify, yes, she indeed was born in Norway or one of her parents were born in Norway. And then
I know she was born in Menominee Falls.
Okay. So, but she's of Norwegian heritage, in other words. Is that what your family says?
But both of her parents are from Norway.
Okay.
I know that much. That's about all I know, though.
Okay.
I know she was, I know I can go as far back as Menominee Falls, but past that.
Then it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
You know, whenever someone says, I'm a novice, I'm thinking, oh, good, that means there's a lot of stuff we can find for you. So, you know, there's a great institution here in Madison called the Norwegian American Genealogical Center, and they're a sister organization. We work very closely together. And so what we usually do is we usually, at the Historical Society, work on the North American end of things, and then they take it when it gets to Norway. So if you can also, you know, if you want to post those questions to me specifically with dates and everything to the Ask Library at wisconsinhistory.org, then we can help you with that kind of question.
Excellent.
And
okay.
with the Sicilian as well, there's a lot of resources that the Mormons have filmed and digitized and made available that used to only be accessible in Sicily. And so, and in other parts of Italy. So we can direct you with those kinds of collections, too.
Excellent.
Excellent. Thanks for calling, Dominique.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. And Ann in Pewaukee, it's on to you now. Hi, Ann.
Hi. It's I'm a daughter or great-great-granddaughter of early pioneers in Waukesha County. And they were all named the same name, but I managed to find my line based on the name of the farm. It was Gramatic. That's the way my dad pronounces it, but it looks like K. Maddock. Anyway, in the Historical Society, I think the Wisconsin State Genealogical Society did a study on Waukesha County pioneers, and there's an error. It says my line was wiped out by diphtheria in 1882, and we're alive and kicking. There were survivors. So how do I go about correcting that error?
Well, if it was started with the Wisconsin State Genealogical Society, they're another sister organization. They're not technically the Wisconsin Historical Society, but we do work closely with them as well. And so I would put you in touch with their organization and see what they might be able to post for a correction to that. They would very much appreciate being able to fix that.
Okay, and how do I contact them?
You would have to go through the email. If you can email me at the Ask Library at wisconsinhistory.org, then I can put you in touch with the correct person with that organization.
Yeah, wisconsinhistory.org. I know you've said this a million times, but
that's that's okay. All right.
I'll have to find out who had the error.
Yeah, that's right.
Ask Library at Wisconsin what?
Wisconsinhistory.org.
Okay, great.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Taking a look at genealogy today, your family history with Lori Bessler, reference librarian in the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. Larry Mueller here. Amanda Magnus, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have many callers online with questions, genealogical questions for our guest today, Lori Bessler. So glad to have her along today. And thank you, by the way, for listening in. Leah in Green Bay, we're turning to you next. Hi, Leah. Thank you for calling.
Hi. This is a great program. And I just want to bring up an allied profession, which I am, which is called a personal historian. And we work with people who have gathered their genealogy and their personal stories and family history. And we help them make beautiful books and videos as a legacy for their family.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I just wanted to mention that, and I've been in the Historical Society, and it's there's a website, www.personalhistorians.org, O-R-G, which tells how anywhere in the country you could find someone to work with you.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. It's a good network of connections with this, huh?
Exactly. And in some cities, they work very closely with genealogical societies, and we have a lot in common.
That's wonderful. Yeah, networking is so important in this whole study.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So I just wanted to let you know about that and keep up the good work.
Oh, right. Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Leah. Thank you very much for calling. That's cool. Good to know. Heather in Menominee Falls has a question for us, so let's go there. Hi, Heather.
Hi. I actually have a couple questions. My first I had some Germans come over from Germany to Canada, and then they came down through northern Wisconsin. And there's like a family rumor that they were Hessian soldiers and they received this Canadian land grant. And I'm having a lot of trouble. I can take them back to Canada, but I'm having a lot of trouble getting from Canada back to Germany.
Ah, okay.
I guess my first question is, I don't know.
Do we have anything for you?
Any suggestion? Well, or any lead in the right direction?
Yeah, you know what is that? I would say there's definitely somebody on our staff, Jim Hansen, who might be able to help you with that because of the fact that it's Canadian research. He'll have a better idea of the paper trail that would be there and where to locate that paper trail. So, like I said, if you can email those specifics to the Ask Library at wisconsinhistory.org, then what we can do is put you in touch with Jim and get some ideas. You had another question?
I actually emailed him as well. I recently had the opportunity to go back to Belgium and touch some of the source documents.
Oh.
Of birth, marriage, and death.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, I was in heaven. I could have spent my whole trip there. But I went back to 1744, and everybody's middle name is Joseph. Oh. Even the women are like Josephine. And I was wondering, I don't know, is that there was a King Joseph at some point, likely, that... I mean, have you seen that before?
Or? Well, I have to admit, I've never done Belgian research before. Okay. But like I said, we can usually put you in touch with somebody who could possibly answer that kind of question. Sometimes I've suggested that people contact universities like this, the University of Wisconsin, to contact a department, even a foreign language department, that would deal with that language. Then they may have some ideas about naming patterns, such as what you've uncovered. So,
okay, yeah.
But if you wanted to email that question as well, then I can do a little digging for you as a reference librarian. That's my job, is to find where are these sources and let you know.
Okay, thank you. And, yeah, that was one thing I wanted to tell everybody, too. Don't ever let language be a barrier, because I went over there with my tablet computer and translated and then just held it up to the window of the city hall.
It's amazing. The tools we have at our fingertips are just amazing.
Absolutely, and the things you learn are... pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's why we do this journey. That's true.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that call. Yeah, isn't that what we've got for tools today?
It is. It's amazing. It's building that whole research is with so many more tools than we used to have, you know, when I started back in the 70s.
Got an email, a Facebook comment from Trudy, who says we should be sure to mention the Mormon site, familysearch.org. Said it was a tremendous help when she researched her husband's French-Canadian family.
Yeah, you know, I teach a 3-hour workshop just on FamilySearch.org. It's such a wonderful website with so many resources on it. Anything from people's trees that they've put up, the names, dates, and places, to actual digital images of these records themselves. So if I wanted a death record from Ohio from the 1950s, I go to Family Search and I find the document instead of bothering the people over in Ohio. Mm. So
and probably get done faster.
Yeah, and it's also that the other part of their site is their online catalog. It tells exactly what they own, and they've been filming things longer than we have at the Historical Society. They started in the 30s filming, and what they would do is go to all these different types of institutions like churches and civil courthouses and things like that. They would go in and get permission to film the items from across the world. So that's why I say the Sicilian materials that the one gentleman was asking about, that would be accessible through the Latter-day Saints, the FamilySearch.org people.
Kay in Eagle River, it is your turn. Hi, Kay.
Yes, hi. I'm calling regarding my grandparents both came over from Poland, and they're now deceased. But my grandmother died when she was 93 in the early 80s. And it was always a kind of a, you know, running joke in our family that my grandmother's last maiden name was Wojtyła,
okay.
And it was the same last name as John Paul II.
Oh, aim high.
My dad looks a lot like him.
Oh.
So we're always joking about, well, yeah, maybe we're related because she was supposedly from the same area as he was.
Sure.
And the trail kind of goes cold because they came over from Poland and went through, I think, Pennsylvania and then came up to northern Wisconsin. So I've always wondered, how would you even go about trying to search that out.
So do you know the trail when it's in Poland for your direct line?
No. I mean, you know, I've asked my relatives, and they just know that she came from, I think, Krakow.
Okay. Well, so that's where I would start, is stay on your line. And as people connect to your line who are famous, then
yes.
It's going to be a lot easier to verify that. So once you have your own line really solid in Poland, and to do that, like I said before, FamilySearch.org may have filmed the Polish records. Often in those areas, you know, we think, well, World War II came along and that it couldn't possibly have, you know, survived. None of these records survive. Well, if you ever watched the Who Do You Think You Are series, the season one had a wonderful example with Lisa Kudrow of records that were still available in the area that described information about her family. And so you can't always assume that those records did not survive. It's just a matter of where are they. And that's what reference librarians can help you identify.
So FamilySearch.org then.
I would do that, but I would also, you know, a lot of these questions coming on the radio today, I have a lot better explanations when I deal with them in the Ask Library account. So if you can email me the details, then I can give you some more advice as to how to find that connection.
Okay, that would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
I appreciate your help. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Kay, for calling. Appreciate it. Susan in Minneapolis emailed, just learned recently that Waukegan, Illinois was a hot elopement spot for Wisconsin couples. Are there any free online listings of Lake City, Illinois marriages from maybe 1900 to 1935? Or can you go down and check the marriage registries yourself as you can in so many Wisconsin counties? Or do you have to pay a flat fee for a search as you do in Chicago?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah.
You know what is that? There may be some things online, and when I'm looking for birth, marriage, or death, I'll go to a certain website called deathindexes.com. And what it does is it does a search of the internet for these websites from a variety of institutions that deal with indexing or actually digitizing birth, marriage, and death records. So I'll check that. And then also, you should be able to go into the courthouse down there and have access to the birth, marriage, and death records. And as far as paying a flat fee, that's up to the institution itself. It's also possible that the Latter-day Saints filmed that county's records. And that's how I'm up here in Wisconsin. One branch of my family's in Louisiana. That's how I've done most of my Louisiana research.
Oh.
Is gotten the film through the Latter-day Saints. And a courthouse down there has gotten some indexes of their marriages on their website. So there's a lot of different directions to go. So each of the three suggestions you gave could work.
Valerie in Milwaukee, we are on to you now. Hi, Val.
I have two questions for you. One is, I'm just starting my family history work, and I'm having such a hard time finding out about women because they all change their names.
Oh, it's hard, isn't it?
I was wondering if you have, and I can't find a lot of, like, marriage certificates or anything, so is there something else I could use to help me with that?
Well, there's definitely other parts of the paper trail. If you don't have her maiden name, looking at the end of her life might work. Looking at her death record, that may give her maiden name. It could give her parents' names as well. Looking at her obituary, looking at a probate file even. If it's always assumed, well, the man probably left him stuff, but maybe not the woman. No, it's not true. If women could show up with a probate file, in there you have a will. You have a list of heirs. You have personal information. So there's more of the paper trail to look at beyond just the marriage record. There's church records. There's a civil marriage record, and then there's usually a church record if they got married in a church. So there's a wide variety of different places to go. Female research is really hard, but there's some really great information out there on the internet as well as to how to do that, different collections to look for.
Wonderful. And then my second question is, my one line of my family ends fairly quickly in the United States, and I'm having a lot of trouble finding information because they're from a little European country. Is there another good resource I could use for that?
Do you know what little European country?
Czechoslovakia, which is not Czechoslovakia anymore.
No, but there's a wonderful organization that deals with Czechoslovakian genealogy. And so if you do the Ask Library at WisconsinHistory.org, I'll put you in touch with them.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. And on Facebook, Luann says, any suggestions for researching Belgian American history? Tried contacting the Belgian American Club in Door County. Nobody responds. But no one responds.
But nobody responds with that organization, in
right.
other words. I see. No, there's bound to be other organizations that deal with Belgian genealogy as well. You can Google it. You can find another institution in another state. You can contact me and let me do some digging around and find out what there might be.
So there's options.
There are always options.
Right.
Always options. I never give up.
Jennifer in Waukon, Iowa, your turn. Hi.
Hi. I was just wondering, I have a pretty good family history already started, and I know that, like, my great-great-great-grandparents came from County Cork, Ireland.
Uh-huh.
And I was just wondering, I want to try and see if I can find some relatives of descendants that didn't transfer to America that are still in County Cork.
Yeah,
so I'm
awesome.
I'm wondering how I should go about doing that.
Awesome. You know what is that? I would actually direct you to someone who specializes in Irish genealogy because they're going to know more about the Irish end of the story and what's the paper trail there. It's not the same as it is over here. And so I assume that church records are going to be important, and it depends on the time period, the era that you're working with. And bringing those generations forward, that's what I've been doing with a lot of my lines since I've been doing this since fourth grade. It's like I need new directions. So
uh-huh.
that's one of them, is to find living people, because that's where some of the photographs are hiding, you know, and
oh,
other
yeah.
documents. So if you want to do the Ask Library at wisconsinhistory.org, I'll try and put you in touch with people who do Irish genealogy. I know of at least a couple of people.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
How do you think this whole business with digital photography now, 100 years from now, are we going to have a lot more trouble because we don't have...
I hope it's not one of those technologies that all of a sudden we can't read.
Yeah,
we
can't, well, that's what
it
I'm
didn't
wondering.
Preserve. It didn't. Our staff at the Wisconsin Historical Society, we have a whole division for historic preservation. And within the library archives, we have preservationists who are looking into this as well. Because we certainly are looking at a digital age. Things that are, you know, we used to only collect books and only collect pamphlets and photos. Well, now people are submitting things digitally. It's like, okay, how do we maintain mm-hmm. this new kind of format? So it's fairly new to the librarians and archivists as well, but we're working hard at trying to find that way to preserve it for the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's going to be, you just wonder, I, you know, think about my own family and all our, you know, we've got this trunk, huge trunk full of photos.
Oh yeah.
That are so much fun to go back and look through and kind of tell the story of our, at least part of our family. And
oh sure. Yeah.
But I worry about, you know, access, you know, my relatives 50, 75 years from now, 100 years from now, having access to those.
Yeah. No, I would assume that they're going to survive the digital end of it as well. But it's certainly not something that you digitize something and you toss it. You're
no.
going to have those hard copies, hopefully, too, those original negatives and things like that. Preserving them is going to be even more important in acid-free boxes. And how do you take mm-hmm. care of these
yeah.
different materials, not just photos, but wedding dresses and these
right.
other tangibles. The thing about digital is that now, with Facebook especially, in our family, we've posted photos that came down our family, and our cousins out in Nebraska are looking at them thinking, I've never seen that picture. You know, I never saw that picture of Grandma, that never, you know, Grandpa mm-hmm. that young. We never saw that. And then they're doing that with their photos. So the availability that the digital age gives us, oh, my goodness, it's amazing.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Drew in Milwaukee, on to you now. Hi, Drew.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I know that I'm of French-Canadian ancestry. Now, I know that my ancestors came over from France and kind of migrated across Canada and came down into South Dakota Territory and married into the Sioux tribe.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I don't have much more information than that. I have a good sense of the names of the ancestries, the ancestors that came in through the States. But I'm just kind of stumped because I...
I'm wondering what kind of paper trail you've already searched for and what is yet to be searched for. So have you looked at church records?
Yes. I have been at this for a while, and I am a member of the Ancestry.com community.
Okay.
Now, I have a pretty good idea from the Sioux or the Indian ancestry side, but I'm just kind of stumped on the Canadian side, or that ancestor that came across Canada and ultimately immigrated into the United States.
Okay, so like I said before, Jim Hansen is one of the best people for Canadian research, and our collection at Historical is phenomenal. It's North American in scope, so it's every United state in the United States, but then all the provinces too. There's a wonderful collection. So I would say if you can email us at the Ask Library account, then I can put you in touch with Jim. In the email, if you can give a good idea of how in-depth you've gone, what types of records you've looked for, that's going to help us.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because when you've gone that far in your research, it really does come down to a give and take with the interview with Jim so that he knows, okay, you've looked for that. What about this?
Mm-hmm. There you go, Drew.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling. Again, what was that? What's the address?
Ask Library at wisconsinhistory.org is our email, but you can also phone our reference desk at 608-264-6535.
There we go. Joe in Franklin, on to you now. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Morning.
I had a pretty good family tree built on Dad's side, but nothing on Mom's side. She's 90 years old and has never told us that she's adopted. Know where she was born, when she was born. We're pretty sure that her, and in quotes, uncle fathered her out of wedlock and was adopted by his sister and her husband.
Okay, was it a formal?
Any way to track down records? I'm guessing back then they were pretty much sealed.
Well, it's also wondering if it was a formal adoption or if it was a gentleman's agreement kind of situation.
Well, my grandfather's an attorney, so I'm sure that whatever was done under the table.
Okay. Which means the paper trail may be very difficult to find if there even was one. If they just agreed, hey, let's have this person raise this child. Church records could tell you some information on civil records, but like you said, the civil records may be sealed for that time period. I just don't know. You just start with what's at the county courthouse and what they allow you to see and start learning about what is the law concerning the time period this adoption took place. I think a lot of people don't realize that there's timelines with these adoptive laws. Things are grandfathered in. There's a lot of detail about that. So you're probably going to be having to look at the church records, still look at the censuses, look at those primary documents that you start your genealogy with. Adoption is very difficult.
It sounds like it's going to be a difficult
It is, but it's worth it, though, too. If you have the ability to just keep plugging away at it and asking more questions, and certainly when we get those questions with Ask Library, it's doing a little digging on our end to find out, okay, what's the area that we're talking about, what location, and then also what time period, and we can try and find some information about what's the availability of those records.
So a good first step, though, would be to contact Muskegon, Michigan Courthouse and find out.
I think so, yeah. If that's where she was born, check to see if you have access to the birth record you didn't realize you had access to.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And you could join in, too, with that 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Leland in Viroqua, your turn. Hi, Leland.
Good morning. I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I was just going to say I had an interesting happening in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago. I was standing outside of a beautiful marble building on the mall about 9 o'clock in the morning waiting for things to open up. And a little woman in period dress stuck her head out of the door and invited me in. And I said, where am I exactly? And she said, this is the D.A.R., and museum, and what's your name? And I told her my name, and I said, what's your name, you know? And she gave me hers, and she started typing on the computer, and she said, oh, yes, you're she said my name, and she said, but you're not 80 years old, are you? And I said, no, I'm not. And but my father is, and we have the same name.
Ah.
And it turned out that my dad's sister, my Aunt Louise, had gone through the process in the 80s to join that organization, whatever that entailed, and she had done a lot of research, and her entire packet of research was in that library right then.
Yeah, that's a sweet deal, isn't it?
And they let me sit in the room there for, I think I was there about 6 hours that day, just reading all the things she dug up, and she took my father's dad's name back to 1347 in Carmarthenshire, Wales.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. All that just laid right out there for you.
Oh, it was wonderful. And I just thought I'd mention the DAR might be a possibility for, you know, some people.
If any of your ancestors possibly connect to the American Revolution, then the DAR, to get into that organization, takes a lot of research. You really have to have pretty good research done to get in. And it's gotten more tight as we go through. But they're incredibly helpful at that library.
Oh, they were so wonderful.
So that's great.
And they were wearing period dress from the 18th century. And it's really fascinating.
I'm actually kind of glad we don't have to wear period dress to where I work.
I'll bet, yeah. So.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. And Bill in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, I've been to Ireland looking around for some. I got some information on my great-grandfather's death certificate, but I don't know how to follow up on that. I was in a little office that has them. You know, you pay £5 and they give you one. But can I contact Ireland somehow directly to because the records are terrible in Ireland.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And I have to admit, I've never done Irish research, and I should. I've got McPherson's. I've got different lines that go back to Ireland, the Hill family. But I do know people who have done Irish research. And so do you have email?
Yes.
Okay. If you can email the asklibrary@wisconsinhistory.org, then I can put you in touch with someone who might know. Also put you in touch with articles that are out there about how to contact Ireland. Maybe the Latter-day Saints have filmed the Irish records that you need.
No, they haven't.
Okay,
no.
So you already checked that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And, boy, Lori, the time flew.
It did. It went
fast. It really flew. I hope you'll come back and do this again with us.
I would love to. I love to help people find their family history. It's fun.
It was wonderful. Thank you so much. Lori Bessler is reference librarian and the Library Archives Division of the Wisconsin Historical Society. She teaches genealogy workshops and helps people piece together their family histories. And as you've heard, she's very passionate about it, and she knows a whole lot about it. So tell you what, I did post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. There's another link to the Wisconsin Historical Society. So if you didn't get everything or you need to contact Lori, certainly you can just go to the Facebook page, click on the link, and you'll get right to her. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a new book that's out on the history of the Lumberjack World Championships. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.